If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A Republican congresswoman from Georgia wore a mask on the House floor on Sunday that read, "Trump won." Wow, a face mask from 2016. She better wash that thing.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with comedian and activist Chelsea Handler. But first, a closer look.
President Trump held a rally in Georgia where he defended his possibly illegal phone call pressuring Georgia election officials to overturn his loss to Joe Biden. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. On Monday night, Trump held what will very likely be his last rally as president of the United States. And man, it feels good to say that. I feel like Tom Cruise jumping on Oprah's couch. You guys remember that? When that was like a 5-day story? Nothing's happened so fast that when a celebrity jumps off a couch cushion, it's old news by the time they land. And look, I know Trump's going to keep holding rallies after he leaves office because it's either that or pay for therapy, but it just won't be the same. I mean, you can still go to Grateful Dead concerts, but it's like two of the original guys and it ends at 9:30. People are dancing with knee braces on and instead of joints, they're passing around a tube of Fixident. As president, Trump has power and we have to listen to him. But in 2 weeks, he'll just be a guy hosting a show from whatever rental van they shoot Newsmax out of, ranting about low flush toilets and B-list celebrities from the 90s.
Bobby Knight, the general they called him, met him in an after party for the ESPYs 1994. Nasty guy, mean guy. Nice to me though. Remember when he threw that chair? Real son of a bitch. One time I saw him stab a waiter with a fork. Charity benefit. Donated nothing. Ate the food and left. Real piece of shit. Liked me. Liked me.
But if there's one takeaway from the Trump presidency, let it be that. The man loved a rally. Remember, he even started his phone call with Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger by claiming there's no way he could have lost the election because of the size of his rallies.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, Brad and Ryan and everybody. We appreciate the time and the call. So we've spent a lot of time on this, and if we could just go over some of the numbers, I think it's pretty clear that we won. We won very substantially, Georgia. You even see it by rally size, frankly. We'd be getting 25, 30,000 people a rally, and the competition would get less than 100 people, and it never made sense.
Okay, first of all, Biden had small numbers of people because it's a pandemic, you sociopath. Luring people into tightly packed crowds for hours at a time with a highly contagious and deadly disease spreading rapidly through the air is like something the Joker would do. Although, knowing the Joker, he probably had some unnecessary logistics where there are like two rallies happening simultaneously and one has a bomb and the other has poison gas. Batman's girlfriend's in one and Alfred's at the other. And meanwhile, Batman's thinking, I can't wait until Gotham City's rid of this insufferable ass. Not knowing, of course, that the villain after the Joker is going to sound like this. So much for my New Year's resolution not to lean on the Bane impression. Also, the reason Biden didn't need big rallies is because people weren't voting for him. They were voting against you. One of the reasons they were voting against you is because of the way you behaved at rallies. So the irony is, Biden did have giant rallies. They were just yours. And you have to love that big crowds was Trump's first argument right out of the gate. I'm surprised he didn't follow up with hard evidence of most red hats sold or candidate whose name Jeanine Pirro says the loudest. And Trump should have been ready for this call. According to the Washington Post, Trump had tried to Reese Raffensperger at least 18 times before Saturday's call, but the calls were patched to interns in the press office who thought it was a prank and didn't realize it was actually the president on the line. And prank call is a perfectly reasonable thing to think. If you read the transcript of Trump's phone call with Raffensperger and his lawyer Ryan Germany in a different voice, you'd think it was one of the Jerky Boys. Do you think it's possible they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Also, the Dominion took out machines you didn't know anything about. That's illegal.
This is Ryan Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County.
But have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
Are you sure, Ryan?
I'm sure. I'm sure, Mr. President.
They were a cultural phenomenon. If you were a young man in 1993, the Jerky Boys were loud and the parties were hopping. So Trump thinks rally size is proof he actually won the election. Well, Monday night gave him one last chance to show off that oratorical prowess he's so legendary for, and he did not disappoint.
We have made America strong again. Look at that arm. Look at that.
While it's troubling that someone who runs America can't say America, look at that arm is a terrific save. Did he say America? Shh, I'm looking at his arm. And hey, anyone's capable of making a mistake, but you never hear Angela Merkel say, "We love our country, Jos McKee. Look, it's a haircut." This is what happens when you zap your brain with 20 hours of cable news a day. Your aides have to pump you full of Red Bull and Adderall just to get you through a speech, and by the end of it, your primary motor cortex starts to turn into cottage cheese. I mean, compare his frantic, slurring energy during the rally with this photo his daughter Ivanka posted on the plane on the way to the rally. There's that quality father-daughter time every family dreams about. Dad, I want to take a picture. Then take it. It looks like the photo you see when you see a retired athlete at your airport gate and don't want to bother them. Trump was supposedly there to rally votes for GOP Senate candidates Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, two of the most soulless, vacant D.C. robots you'll ever see in politics. As far as I can tell, neither has any discernible policy positions other than wanting to be a senator and making money. For example, here's Loeffler, a Wall Street executive who's originally from Illinois, trying to sound like a character in a Tennessee Williams play.
Let's give the senator a hand. He has worked so hard for y'all, and y'all are working hard. I have a very important question for y'all. Grateful for y'all. That's why y'all are here. We need y'all to get out and vote.
It's like watching someone audition for Tammy Taylor in a dinner theater production of Friday Night Lights. Okay, Kelly, can you maybe do it one more time, but this time don't say y'all so much? Y'all got it, y'all! Trump was supposed to be there to campaign for Loeffler and Perdue, so naturally, he started out by immediately obsessing over his election loss.
Hello, Georgia, by the way. There's no way we lost Georgia. There's no way.
That has to be the fastest use of by the way in any speech ever. You weren't even on the way yet. Give yourself some runway, buddy. If you wake up next to your spouse and say, good morning, by the way, they're going to know you were lying awake furious all night. Trump tried to talk about the Senate race, but every time he mentioned it, he couldn't help but veer back into nursing his wounded ego.
If the liberal Democrats take the Senate and the White House, and they're not taking this White House, we're going to fight like hell, I'll tell you right now. These Senate seats are truly the last line of defense. Now, I must preface that by saying, because they'll say, he just conceded. No, I don't concede.
There's nothing to concede. It's over. It doesn't matter whether you concede or not. I mean, you can try it just to see how it feels, see if your first moment of self-reflection and acceptance of failure in 74 years has a Grinch-like effect of growing your heart three sizes, at which point it will be as big as what the Grinch started with. And yet, even after Trump's corrupt and possibly illegal phone call, Republicans are still going along with his attempt to subvert the election for the sake of their own political interests. During the rally, Loeffler jumped up to the mic to tell the crowd she'd be objecting to the Electoral College vote and implied that it would somehow work.
Hello, Georgia! Woo! Thank you, Georgia! I have an announcement, Georgia. On January 6th, I will object to the Electoral College vote. That's right. Thank you. We're gonna get this done. All right, Georgia, but I have a very important question for you. Are you ready to show America that Georgia's a red state?
She can't overturn the election results, but she did overturn her own Southern accent. I mean, where did it go? Did Antifa steal it? She could have at least thrown a y'all in there. She didn't even say, get this done, in a Southern accent. She sounds like Larry the Cable Guy after elocution lessons. It's like we say down here in the South, get her done. Of course, what she's describing is not possible, legal, or constitutional. It was already sedition when Republicans were attempting to overturn a free and fair election before Trump's call. But to get on board after the call is just shocking in its brazenness. I mean, the guy may have committed a crime by basically admitting he was trying to steal the election, and Republicans are like, sign me up. They're shoving it in our faces. They're like suspects in a police lineup raising their hands saying, it was me, I did it. Can I go now? I can? Good. To jail? Can't pretend this is about high-minded principle anymore. After that phone call, it's clear what this is really about. Stealing votes to assuage Trump's ego and illegally cling to power. And even after the phone call came out, Trump is, of course, still insisting there was nothing wrong with it.
They talked about my phone call. They don't like my phone call. Everyone loved my phone call.
Oh, my God, he sounds like a Hollywood director talking himself up after a big flop. Everyone loved my movie. They said they prefer the version with the unblurred buttholes. No, no one loved your call. Even Republicans who are diehard Trump loyalists and who have signed on to the attempt to reject the Electoral College vote, like Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, gently tried to tiptoe away from the phone call.
Brian, one of the things I think that everyone has said is that this call was not a helpful call.
No, oh, I'm so sorry the president wasn't helpful to your attempt to steal the election by blurting out what you were really trying to do the whole time. Republicans all think they're slick members of an elite heist squad trying to rob a precious jewel from a museum, rappelling down into the vault on a rope, jumping around lasers, and Trump's the guy who just walks up to the security guard with a hammer and says, I'm here to steal the fancy diamond. Oh, thank you, a map. And excuse me, how does this map know I am here? Does it move when I move? And by the way, just to be clear, the call may very well have been illegal. The Georgia Secretary of State said there might be an investigation of the call, and election law experts have said it seems like it may be a crime.
Well, it sure sounds like what the president was asking for was for the Secretary of State to manufacture votes, just enough votes to give him a one-vote margin in Georgia. It's not clear how this would work. Georgia's already sent in its Electoral College votes. But it sounds like it could be a crime under both federal law and under state law. Because when you ask someone to come up with fake votes, that's kind of the definition of election fraud.
Yeah, of course it is. If you try to fraudulently overturn an election, that's election fraud. Seems pretty clear cut to me. But then again, I'm just a simple country lawyer like Kelly Loeffler, you all. You're from here, and you're from here. I'm not. Trump tried to pressure Georgia election officials, and it didn't work. So now he's trying to pressure his own vice president, Mike Pence. Pence will have to preside over the counting of electoral votes tomorrow. Now, to be clear, Pence has no power to just overturn the results, despite Trump's insistence on Twitter today that the vice president has the power to reject fraudulently chosen electors. No, he doesn't. All Pence is supposed to do is count. Pence can't change the results any more than Vanna White can change the phrase on the board. Although apparently even counting is difficult for Pence. The New York Times reported that one person close to Pence described Wednesday's duties as gut-wrenching, saying that he would need to balance the president's misguided beliefs about government with his own years of preaching deference to the Constitution, which is like me saying it's gut-wrenching balancing my years preaching a healthy diet with my four-year-old's desire to eat 1,000 gummy worms. But spare a thought for Mike Pence's gut, because it's really been through the ringer these past few years, and now he has to choose between the Constitution and a sleazy mafia don cold-calling election officials illegally, begging for votes like a telemarketer.
Hello, is this the Secretary of State of Arizona? Are you happy with your internet service? What if I told you you could combine Wi-Fi and cable for the price of only 11,000 votes?
And then yesterday, Trump added to the pressure by telling the crowd he'd be mad at Pence if the vice president didn't steal the election for him.
I hope Mike Pence comes through for us, I have to tell you. I hope that our great vice president comes through for us. He's a great guy. Of course, if he doesn't come through, I won't like him quite as much.
I have a hard time believing Trump likes Pence even now. There's no way those two have anything in common aside from their desperate desire to wield power at any cost. Trump gets what he needs from Pence and vice versa. They're like a rhino and that weird bird that eats bugs off them. If it weren't for the bugs, they're not hanging out. By the way, you can decide for yourself which is which. I don't care. From the very beginning, they've looked like two cops thrown together and forced to put aside their differences to stop, or in this case, start a crime spree. I think I saw it last night on TNT.
Officer Ham, Officer Milk, get in here!
Milk, you gotta tell him you're the one who crashed the cruiser. It was you that crashed the cruiser. I didn't know it was a one-way street. It said one way, but it didn't say which way. That's what the arrow was for. Who has time to look at the arrow? Plus, I was chasing a suspect. You were trying to get to McDonald's before they stopped serving breakfast. That's true. You caught me in a fib. Oh, Milk. If I was a lady cop, would your wife have to be in the car with us?
So tomorrow, Congress will count the votes that have already been cast by the Electoral College. Again, Congress does not have any authority to just overturn the results of a presidential election and pick someone else. It's not a thing. This isn't American Idol. It's not like there's an audience vote and then Lionel Richie gets to weigh in. Ted Cruz doesn't get a veto. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say the president shall be chosen by the Electoral College unless a time-traveling Old West bartender disagrees. I declare President Trump the winner and sarsaparilla on the House. Republicans are running a scam by telling their voters there's actually a chance objecting to tomorrow's Electoral College certification will somehow allow Trump to stay in office. Their entire case falls apart once you ask them for even the simplest explanation of how this is supposed to work. And that's because it's all a lie to conceal the truth Trump revealed on his phone call. It's not about principle or election integrity. It's about power. These guys believe their opponents are illegitimate. They want to dismantle our democracy and replace it with an authoritarian state in which they're the only ones who get to govern.
America!
There's been...
Look at my arm!
A closer look.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Our guest tonight is a comedian, activist, and six-time number one New York Times bestselling author. Her latest special, Chelsea Handler Evolution, is available to stream on HBO Max. Please welcome back to the show our good friend, Chelsea Handler. How are you, Chelsea?
Hi, Seth.
It is so lovely to see you braving the elements. You're in Canada.
I am. I'm Canadian now, I think. I'm hoping to become Canadian. I actually came home. I was skiing all morning, and I came home to try and do my hair for you. And then I just realized it was futile. So I decided, screw it. You don't give a and I don't either.
I think you found a perfect solution because this is an excellent look for you. You are a fairly avid skier. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, I'm in Whistler, Canada. I'm working in Canada, so I can combine my two favorite things, Canada and cannabis.
That's a nice combo. You have joked, maybe there was more truth to it than that, about maybe moving to Canada one of these days. Now that you're spending some time there, is that something you would consider?
I did buy a house in Canada, in Whistler specifically, right before the election because I was like, you know, I was a little bit scared of what could possibly happen. But now I just have this great place and I have this gig up here in Canada. So I'm like, oh, I guess I'll just move into my new pad, my new ski pad. So I'm like living alone. It's like my first big girl apartment. I'm all by myself. I had to quarantine for 2 weeks with my dogs. So my house smells like dog urine and cannabis.
You mentioned you're there by yourself. You've been very honest over the years in your books and stand-up about the fact that you're fairly pampered and have had a pretty supportive staff. How'd you do setting up a house by yourself?
I've thrown my back out twice. I tried to roll out a carpet. I've tried to cook several items, you know, and nothing's edible.
I did learn how to grow. I make bake a chicken, so that's something.
I want to
be more self-sufficient, you know. So like, I'm trying really hard, but it's embarrassing because I'm like 45 and I can't do basic stuff.
The same is true of me, and I've got a couple years on you. Hey, here's Bert and Bernice. You mentioned your two dogs. Do I have their names right?
Yeah, that's them.
How are they behaving? Are they enjoying their time with you?
They are. Well, my cleaning lady is really the top dog at my house in LA. My dogs really prefer her. Her name is Mabel. They prefer her over me. So getting them saying goodbye was very traumatic for my big dog, Bert, because she really likes to egg it on. She likes that they like her more, you know, she's got that over me. But when they were saying goodbye at the airport, it was really ridiculous. I mean, like open mouth kissing. And the more she does that, like she's literally opening her mouth and kissing my dog. And his mouth is also open. And I'm watching that, like, how is this okay? And then the more she does that, the more depressed Bert is once she's gone. You know, we get on the plane and he's just like this. So it's rough. You
so know, would you, if Bert wanted to open mouth kiss you, would you push him away?
Well, no, that's a great question, Seth. And thanks for asking it. Yeah. I think that if Bert wanted to kiss me, I would be so delighted that I would. No, I don't think I would open mouth kiss him because I know what kind of food I'm feeding him and I don't want that in my mouth.
I recently, over the holidays, I saw my parents' dogs, and I did some open-mouth kissing with them, and basically my wife then demanded, like, quarantine for that I had done that.
There's a lot of things we're finding out that you should be quarantining for and from.
So, I know it's difficult to obviously date during a pandemic, and from the clip you mentioned your early lust for Governor Cuomo, how are you feeling now? Because, you know, the vaccine rollout is not crushing it.
No, he's not crushing it. I'm over him. He's too old and sloppy anyway for me. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just not. He had his day. He apexed, and now the apex is over.
Do you think, is that, like, did he have a pretty good run as far as holding Chelsea Handler's affection? Like, I feel like we're being hard on him now, but, like, he had, like, 4 or 5 months, right?
Yeah, no, he was definitely. I mean, listen, we were all hot for it because we were also dehydrated for decent leadership. You know, it's like, can somebody be in charge around here? You know, that's like just being in Canada. Everybody's so different. Everybody wears a mask. Nobody's saying no to wearing a mask. You know, people are it's so civilized here. I forget what the question. Oh, Andrew Cuomo. Sorry.
That's how fast he's left your mind. Couldn't even remember his name.
I'm like, Andrew, first of all, let's be honest. I didn't know that Andrew Cuomo, I thought Mario Cuomo was the governor of New York until COVID hit. So I was confused.
He was one of the first casualties. We lost Mario early.
We did. We did lose Mario early. But
I do want to ask you, obviously you've been skiing and you mentioned you're alone. You've talked about having trouble with guides over the years, specifically male guides. Are you skiing alone or with assistants?
Yeah, in my special, my HBO Max special, Evolution, I talk a lot about how I get turned on when a man is in control of me. You know, as many women do, I like to pay somebody to look after me. These are injuries, obviously, from my childhood, but I'm aware of them. And I also like the transaction of paying someone to say, okay, you're my responsibility, right? But then I slip up because sometimes I get romantic with these people and then that doesn't end well. So now I ski with only female guides.
So you like don't trust yourself. It's a classic Mike Pence move.
It's a... Exactly.
You know, we're being so hard on him and there he's got the same problem as you do.
Oh, Mike Pence is the worst. I can't get rid of...
No, to
get
you two are the same.
Twinsies!
Hey, congratulations on the special. I can't imagine it was easy putting that together during the times we're living in. It's always such a delight to see you, Chelsea.
Always. You too, Seth. Say hi to your family for me.
All right. I'll see you soon, I hope. Chelsea Handler Evolution is available on HBO Max now.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.